Our Father in heaven, the one who reigns in glory and in majesty, the creator of the whole universe, and the one who has sent his only begotten Son to this world, that through his death at the cross, through the shedding of his blood, we may be redeemed, we may be cleansed, forgiven, that we may become children of God. And Father, we thank you for the depth of your love towards us, your unceasing goodness and grace towards your children. And we ask, Father, that you will help us to grow in our gratitude, our love for you, and our faithfulness towards you. Help us that we may not be complacent or careless with our lives, but that we may recognize the importance of being vigilant and diligent to live our lives well, for we know that the implications are far-reaching, not only for time on earth, but for issues of eternity, not only for ourselves, but also the implications for others that we love, people that we come into contact with. We realize that if we grow well, we can even touch the lives of others far away from us through prayer. Father, we do thank you for your high calling, the many privileges you've granted to us as your children. We ask that you will help us, that we will not disappoint you, but we may bring much joy to your heart. We ask, Father, that you will continue to help us to know how to equip ourselves, to be well trained by the Lord, and to be able to bring forth much fruit in our lives. And so, Father, we ask that as we continue to ponder over how we can be properly trained and equipped to serve the Lord, we ask that you will help us not only to recognize the positive steps that we need to take, but also the dangers and pitfalls. For we know that there are many negative influences in this world, and the powers of darkness are at work. And we ask that you help us to keep ourselves in the path of truth, and to know how to walk in the light, in accordance with the revelation of the truths in the scriptures. Help us that we may be able to recognize, to understand, to adopt, and to put into practice what will help us to maintain a close walk with you in the path of truth. And so, Father, we entrust this time to your hands, asking that you will speak to us, that you will, in your goodness and grace, grant us understanding by your Spirit. We pray for your protection, that you will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass, disturb, or hinder the communication of the truth of your word, or in any way to hinder the reception of your word and the application in our lives. And so, Father, we entrust this time to your hands with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We continue our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 98th message, and we are the third major category of conduct, service, and action, the 34th message. We've been reflecting on Acts chapter 4, verse 13, some reflections on being trained and equipped to serve God. This is the fourth message, and we are now considering the scriptures. An important aspect of being trained and equipped to serve God, the scriptures. This is the second message on the scriptures. The previous message was the first message on the scriptures. And for today, we want to concentrate on the issue how we can safeguard ourselves from receiving or being influenced by wrong or unwholesome, unsound teaching. How we can safeguard ourselves from receiving or being influenced by wrong or unwholesome, unsound teaching. I mentioned that this is the second message on the scriptures. I didn't mention this in the previous message, that there was the first message on the scriptures, and we are concentrating on the warning of the Lord Jesus to watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That was the previous message. We know that as believers, we are all concerned that we should be properly trained and equipped to serve the Lord. It's an issue of major concern for all who love the Lord. And in our reflections on Acts chapter 4 verse 13, we saw that Peter and John were very effective in their testimony for the Lord and for the truth, though they appeared uneducated and untrained to the council which was interrogating them. And Peter and John were effective because they were taught and trained by the Lord, and they were filled and empowered by the Spirit. We saw that likewise, for us to be properly trained and equipped to serve the Lord, we must also be taught and trained by the Lord, whether directly or indirectly. That is, we are helped in that direction by others, and we must also be filled with the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. In the last message, we considered another related important aspect of being trained, how to be trained and equipped, and that is the Scriptures. The Scriptures has been inspired by God so that we can be trained, taught, and equipped for every good work. That the truth revealed in it may equip us for every good work. And we need to see the relationship between the being taught and trained by the Lord and the Scriptures. Because the Lord basically teaches and trains us in accordance with the truth revealed in the Scriptures. The relationship between being trained and equipped by the Lord and the Scriptures. Basically, the Lord teaches and trains us in accordance with the truths revealed in the Scriptures. So those who can effectively help us to be trained and equipped are those who effectively help us to understand, to gain insight, to appropriate and to apply the truth revealed in the Scriptures. However, we need to pay heed to the warning of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 verse 6. He warns us to watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, that is, their teaching. The Pharisees were highly trained and learned in religious matters, but they were very lacking or devoid of spiritual life and reality and true insight and knowledge of the truth. And as a result, the Lord Jesus called them blind guides. And it leads to wrong teaching, wrong emphasis, and they can also be a hindrance to true faith and relationship with God. And the Lord Jesus asked this question, can a blind man guide a blind man? Or rather, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? And so we need to bear in mind the principle involved, not just in extreme context, but this principle that we cannot separate quality of spiritual life, character and insight from effectiveness of teaching and equipping believers for service. They bear a vital relationship. Paper qualifications should not be the criterion. We also looked at another passage, Mark chapter 7, verse 5 to 13, where the Lord Jesus further pointed out the problem with the teaching of the Pharisees, that they were teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. In the process, they were neglecting, setting aside, invalidating the word of God by the tradition which they have handed down. And today there are many assertions, teachings going on which are contrary to what the Scriptures actually teach. The precepts of men, men's opinions, views, thinking, ideas, wrong understanding of Scriptures being taught as doctrines, and some are handed down from generation to generation. And we need to be alert. Today we are faced with many different views. And the last message, we referred to various views and assertions which have very far-reaching influence and implications, including strong assertions on difficult and controversial areas, and also different views on the same issue. At the end of the last message, the question was raised, which is what we want to concentrate on today, and that is, what should be our approach when we come across or are confronted with various views and teachings? What should be our approach when we come across or are confronted with various views and teachings, especially on difficult or controversial issues? Or issues we are not clear about. I mentioned what should be our approach when we come across or are confronted with, because sometimes we just come across them, and the coming across them can partly be voluntary on our part. We reach out for a book, for example, or cassette tape, or we allow ourselves voluntarily to be exposed to some of these views. But sometimes we are confronted with it, in the sense that we didn't seek out for it, but we are confronted with the issue. Either someone shares these things to us without our seeking for it, or someone close to us is faced with this issue and we are very concerned about it. It's of direct relevance to us. So it can come in various ways. And I mentioned, especially on difficult or controversial issues, or issues we are not clear about. Sometimes it involves difficult or controversial issues. Sometimes they may not be particularly difficult, but we are unsure, we are not clear what should be our approach when we come across these issues. How can we safeguard ourselves from receiving or being influenced by wrong or unwholesome, unsound teaching, and yet at the same time still be able to benefit and learn from insight into the truth other believers have attained? One way of safeguarding ourselves from being influenced by wrong teaching is to shut ourselves up from the influence of others, so no one can influence us. But if we shut ourselves from all other believers, then we will not be able to benefit from the insight into the truth that other believers have attained. And in the absolute sense of shutting ourselves out in that kind of way is clearly not in accordance with the will of the Lord, because the Lord has called believers into his kingdom, and we should learn from one another, build up one another, edify one another in the Lord. And yet this is a very problematic area, because being influenced by wrong teaching can lead us very far astray. And we can also be influenced in that direction even without being very conscious of it. And in particular, in the last days, the scriptures warns us that false teachers, false teachings will prevail, and false prophets will arise and will try to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And so we need to be very careful, vigilant. But how should we resolve this issue? It is an important but a difficult issue to resolve. Generally, believers regard it as a blessing. There is an advantage, a good thing that we are living today, because there's an abundance of Christian literature, and we can benefit from messages preached by so many different people, whether it be those who are alive today or sometimes even by those who have passed away, but somehow their messages have been recorded and we can hear them or read about them. We can benefit from so many different messages, from so many different preachers, writers, cassette tapes that we can listen to, radio, TV. Some of these may not be so common in Singapore, but other parts of the world. Messages that they can hear from the radios, from the TV, or those in Singapore. We also, to some degree, have access to these things. or what we can read in the books and in magazines, and these abound. So generally, believers will regard this as a blessing, an advantage for believers. We are so privileged to have so many of these things available to us. It's possible to benefit from what is available, but I want to highlight that the abundance of these things may not be an advantage. It may not be helpful, because we may end up, believers may end up, and not just possibility, many have actually been adversely affected along the directions I'm about to mention, because believers may end up confused by the differing views that they hear and read. And sometimes believers, and this is not uncommon, because they read, hear from various sources, end up holding in their minds various contradictory views without even realizing it, apart from holding on to various views that are not wholesome or even wrong teaching that can negatively affect their lives. So we can end up confused, or we may be influenced by unwholesome or wrong teaching, and we may also end up going very far astray. So we need to take heed to the warning of the Lord Jesus and other writers, especially in the New Testament. Many believers in this regard fall under two categories, and both of them are undesirable. The first category are believers who are generally not earnest. They are not serious about the faith. And although they may hear, they may read, they absorb and apply little or none of what they hear or read. This is one category. Another category of believers are those who are generally earnest, varying degrees of earnestness, but they are generally earnest, they are serious about their faith, and they try to absorb and apply what they hear and read, but without sufficient alertness and carefulness to sift out truth from error, except what is very obvious to them. So what is very obvious, they may not receive it in, but other than that, they are earnest, they are serious, but they absorb and apply generally what they read of Christian literature or what they hear in a Christian context. And as a result, this category of believers are easily influenced by unwholesome, wrong teaching, and often without even being aware of it. This is a very prevalent state of affairs and very serious. And any one of us can also fall under either of these two categories if we are not very careful. So I want you to take note that the approach and some of the suggestions I'm going to raise of the approach to take, what I'm about to suggest may appear obvious as well as easy to implement. But in reality, many believers do not adopt this approach. Neither is it easy to put into practice effectively, even after we recognize the approach and we desire to adopt it. It may appear easy, it may appear obvious. Yeah, it should be this way, and we may think that that's the way we have been approaching these issues. But it may not be so. And even after we recognize and we are in agreement, yes, this approach we should adopt, and we try to put it into practice, take note that it is actually not easy to put it into practice effectively. If we put it into practice effectively, it can be a very helpful safeguard against being influenced by unwholesome, wrong teaching, and can help us to safeguard our spiritual health and well-being. So let us prayerfully take heed if we can see that these suggestions are really agreeable and in line with what ought to be for believers living in this age, confronted with so many different views. The approach I'm going to suggest various suggestions, basically take note that the basis is the authority and infallibility of what the scriptures teaches. That is the basis. The basis is the authority and infallibility of what the scriptures teaches. And our desire to submit to what the scriptures teaches as a whole, as a unit. When I say as a whole, means the whole of the scriptures, the whole Bible, what does it teach? Sometimes believers may quote from certain parts of scriptures and it may appear to teach something, but if we are careful, we realize that that cannot be what the scriptures actually teach. And that also means that that particular verse or portion which appears to be teaching that also will not be teaching that. So when we consider the authority of the scriptures and submission to what the scriptures teach or teaches, we are talking about the scriptures, the whole of the scriptures, the whole Bible. What does it actually teach on that issue or that subject? And this is in line with what we've been considering, that our desire to be properly trained and equipped. We have to be trained and equipped in accordance with the truths revealed in the scriptures. So that must be our basis. The Lord willing, the message will be in two parts. And the first part or section, I want first to refer you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Reading from verse 19. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. We have to examine everything carefully. But on the other hand, Paul tells us, do not despise prophetic utterances. Now the principle there is that we should not despise, but we should appreciate that there is true prophetic ministry, and there are those who can help communicate the truth to us. So we should appreciate truth, that God's servants can help us to understand. But Paul qualifies it in verse 21, but we have to be careful. We must examine everything carefully. On the one hand, we should appreciate what we can learn and benefit from others who can help us in the direction of truth, but we must examine everything carefully, and then to hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good, but we must reject all that is not good, all that is not of the truth, reject all errors. So the approach suggested, the first point is the starting point. First point, the starting point, and there are three aspects to the first point of the starting point. The first aspect is A, is that we should base our lives on clear teaching of the scriptures. As a starting point for our Christian lives, we should base our lives on clear teaching of the scriptures. In other words, we should not be distracted by areas we are not clear about as far as reception and application is concerned. We should only receive and seek to apply what is very clearly taught in the scriptures, which we ourselves have come to recognize. Not what other people assert, which may be very clear to them. No. What we ourselves are clear about. And I want to emphasize that there is a sufficient body of a truth which a sincere believer can be clear about, on the basis of which he can live out his life. So as we read the scriptures, there are various very clear truths in the scriptures which we can be very clear about. The scriptures teach us these things. If you are not yet clear, we do not apply it. The starting point, base our lives on clear teaching of the scriptures, what we are clear about, do not apply what we are not clear about, that the scriptures actually teach those things, even though others may urge us, they may sound reasonable, but before we are clear the scripture teaches these things, let us concentrate our lives and base our lives on clear teaching of the scriptures. B is related to A. What should be our concentration? Our concentration should not be on various issues that are puzzling, but we should first concentrate on deepening insight, appreciation, absorption, and application of these clear truths. So there are various clear truths in the scriptures. Concentrate on this. Do not be distracted and concentrate on various other aspects that are not clear. Those aspects we can be clear about, let us concentrate on them. This is very important, because as we concentrate on these truths, then we will grow in the Lord, and we can be quite clear that our lives are being built in the truth. As we deepen our lives in the Lord and in the truth, we can then be more ready to seek to understand other areas of truth, as well as other areas of truth which earlier on were not so clear to us can become increasingly clear to us. But our concentration must be on deepening insight. I say deepening insight because there are many areas of truth in which we understand and we are in agreement, but we can deepen our insight into these truths, which are not ambiguous, which are not controversial. To us, they are clear teachings of scriptures. Let us concentrate on how to deepen our understanding, our appreciation, our absorption, our application of these clear truths. Especially concentrating on the truths pertaining to the deepening knowledge and fellowship with God and faithfulness to Him. So there are various aspects of truth revealed in the scriptures. For example, the attributes of God, very clear to us. The holiness of God, the love of God, His kindness, His sovereignty, and so on. There are various aspects of truth. There are various principles revealed in the scriptures of God's call and how we should respond to Him, to love Him, to be faithful to Him, to be true to Him, to walk in the light. Many of these principles are very clear, but we may not be very clear about the details, how to work it out. And that's where we look to the Lord to help us to grow in our understanding of what these things mean. What does it mean to love the Lord, to be faithful to Him? The meaning of the sovereignty of God. I'll elaborate a little bit of this afterwards, how we go about it and what the implications, and also the need to be careful with elaboration. But first I want to emphasize that we should concentrate on deepening in our appreciation and application of these clear truths, especially pertaining to deepening knowledge and fellowship with God, faithfulness to Him, and the outworking of our lives based on these principles of truth, as well as to concentrate on moral character development. And there are many clear principles in the scriptures pertaining to this area that we can be clear about. They are not contentious issues, they are not ambiguous, they are clear. Concentrate on these first, and also concentrate on our working in healthy church life. There are also various principles that are very clear in the scriptures, how we should come together, edify one another in the Lord, the proper attitude of love, concern, consideration for one another, and so on. Clear areas of truth, how we should not neglect our coming together. So clear areas, all these are based on the clear teaching of the scriptures. Concentrate on these. C, we should continue to read and search the scriptures and continue to receive further understanding of clear teaching into our lives. At a starting point, there are a number of issues which are clear. We base our lives on these. But we don't stop there. Even as we seek to deepen our appreciation, absorption, application of these clear truths, we continue to search the scriptures and continue to absorb further understanding of clear teaching. So I continue to emphasize clear. Whatever is clear, we continue to search the scriptures. It must be our priority. The starting point, our priority, must be to seek to understand the clear teaching of the scriptures, and also if there are others who can help us in our understanding of the clear truths of scriptures, our personal searching as well as what God has provided for us. But when it comes to others helping us, it is not a question of just receiving whatever they tell us, but whatever they can help us to understand clear teaching of the scriptures. See, we must be satisfied that it's not the opinion of men, but what the scriptures clearly teach. And so, of course, in this regard, those who carefully show to us what the scriptures teach are those who will be more effective in helping us to recognize clear teaching of the scriptures. But if we merely hear or read of those who merely assert various things but do not show how they arrive at the truths or at those things that they are asserting without showing from the scriptures, then it becomes a difficulty. I go on to the second point. Remember that these various points that I'm listing to you are related to one another. Whatever teaching views we come across, whatever we hear or read, we should seek to learn from and benefit from whatever way they can help deepen our appreciation, insight, and response to clear teaching of the scriptures. Now, this may sound rather similar to what I have already mentioned to you, but it's not exactly that way, because here I'm widening the thing. The earlier part is more the concentration on the starting point for ourselves and how we look at the scriptures. But now I want to concentrate more on what we hear and what we read. When we come across these things, what should be our primary concern? Our primary concern regards to what we hear and read would be to try to benefit from how others can help us to deepen our appreciation, insight, and response to clear teaching of the scriptures. In other words, this should be our emphasis. Those areas are not so clear, do not become distracted by them or carelessly absorb them into our lives. Concentrating on benefiting from those who can help us to deepen our appreciation, insight, and response to clear teaching of the scriptures, including teachings of the scriptures we already recognize. That's all right. There are various aspects of clear teachings in the scriptures we already recognize, that these are clear teachings of the scriptures, but there are varying depths of appreciation, insight, absorption, application of these clear teachings. And what we hear and read can help us in those directions. So we should concentrate on hearing those that can help us in these directions, or if we are reading books, to be more selective. To read from writers, we are clear, do not to be careful not to quickly expose ourselves to writers who write on various controversial issues, but at the beginning, primarily to concentrate on writers we are clear, concentrate on clear teachings of the scriptures. And they help us, they are reliable, they can help us to appreciate in a deeper way truths we already come to recognize. I go on to the third point, and now I want to widen it further. It's important that every teaching view we come across, especially on difficult and controversial issues, must be carefully examined and scrutinized on the basis of the scriptures. Those what we are exposed to, whether we hear or read, if we are talking about very clear teachings of the scriptures, what we already recognize, because they already form part of the body of truth we already recognize, which at the beginning we are very careful to sort out whether are they very clear teachings of the scriptures. Remember I mentioned just now, at the beginning we are careful, and there are aspects of truth which we've come to recognize are very clear teaching of the scriptures. So we already have a body of truth which we subscribe to, clear teaching of the scriptures. But when we come across various teachings, various views, that we are not so familiar with, new teaching in particular, or areas we are not so clear about, and especially on difficult and controversial issues, these must be carefully examined and scrutinized on the basis of the scriptures before we receive them into our lives. That is, if there is any issue we are not fully satisfied that it is clearly the teaching of the scriptures, we should not receive them into our lives. Though they may sound convincing, reasonable, if you are not clear that it is the teaching of the scriptures, then we should not receive them into our lives. Remember what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 20 and 21. On the one hand, do not despise prophetic utterances, but on the other hand, to examine everything carefully. Elaboration of the third point, the fourth point, is those views which are clearly contrary to the teaching of the scriptures should be firmly rejected and not allowed to influence our lives in any way. This may sound obvious, but we need to be alert, because sometimes teachings which are contrary to the scriptures can be very appealing and attractive, and if you are not careful, sadly they may influence our lives. And especially if we are not careful, we expose ourselves to a lot of literature that is unsound. They can subtly influence our lives. The fifth point is an aspect I want to highlight and draw attention to. It's important but difficult to adopt and practice effectively. It is a continuation of point 3. And that is, views we are not clear about whether the scriptures actually teach these things. And I emphasize again, we are not clear whether the scriptures actually teach, not merely whether it sounds right, it sounds reasonable, it sounds convincing. That is not sufficient. If you are not clear whether the scriptures actually teach these things, then these views, these issues, if we come across them, they must be held in abeyance. What we come to recognize are clearly wrong teachings, we reject them. We don't allow them to influence our lives. But if you're not sure, then we don't have to reject them. But neither should we receive them. Held in abeyance means we hold it at a distance. We do not receive it into our lives, neither do we reject it. For example, we hear someone preaches something, or we hear from a cassette tape, or we read about a view. We are not clear. We are not fully satisfied that the scriptures actually teach these things. Then we just hold it in our minds. Yes, I've come across this view. And if you can remember it, you can also hold it in your mind. Yes, I've read or I've heard so and so say this, and these are some of the reasons he has stated to substantiate his view. That's all. But if you are not very clear that the scriptures actually teach these things, even though at times they may try to explain why they believe those things, quote some scripture verses, but you are not very satisfied yet, then we hold it in abeyance until it becomes clear with time. With time it can become clear one way or another, one that is not wholesome, not so sound, needs qualifications, or is wrong teaching, or it becomes very clear to us that it is clearly the teaching of the scriptures. until it becomes clear with time, further consideration and study, or we receive help from others who can help us to become clear. Now this is very important. We have to be very careful before we receive things into our lives, doctrines, teachings. Because once we receive wrong teaching into our lives, especially if we are earnest and sincere in our faith, then the implication would be to apply what we recognize or what we think to be the truth. So once we receive wrong teaching to our lives, it can distort our lives, and at times it can have very negative effects upon our lives, very adverse consequences. And not only that, any wrong teaching that we receive into our lives and we accept them as the truth will then hinder us from receiving truth into our lives. Because if we are prayerful and we are wise in our approach to life, we will recognize that truth is one whole harmonious unit. They do not conflict with one another. So if you are careful to build up your life on clear truths, then you can continue to receive further truth in your lives, and it's a harmonious whole. But once you start receiving errors into the body of truth, in inverted commas, that you subscribe to, it contains errors. Any error that you receive into your life, then further truth coming in, where it conflicts with this error which you have held to be truth, you may then reject it, because it conflicts with what you think to be the truth. So you are not going to receive conflicting things into your understanding. So if an error you consider to be a truth, then something else comes along which is actually the truth, you will tend to reject it because it conflicts with what you think to be the truth. So we have to be very careful. And this is especially so for all those who are serious and earnest about the faith. If you are not serious and earnest about the faith, then of course in the first place that would be a very serious matter. But the issues may in one sense be not so significant, because we may hear, read many, many things and we are not acting upon it, and they may not have very much relevance to our lives. But for all those who are serious in their walk with God, then we want to apply the truth into our lives. Then what we are talking about here becomes very important. So whatever we are not clear, we must learn the ability to hold them in abeyance. Now this may seem obvious, but most believers are not sufficiently vigilant and careful to adopt and to maintain this practice. And it's also not easy to do so well and to be able to do this effectively. It is not easy. It is easier to simply reject. If you're not clear, we just reject everything. So they don't influence us. We forget about them. We reject them. The other is just to become influenced by them, to receive them. But to be able to hold them in abeyance like that and not allow it to influence us until we become clear, this is not easy. Because what we read, they sound reasonable. When we hold them in our minds, when we try to remember them, they tend to influence us, to affect our lives. The other is, if we are not very conscious and very deliberate about it, that unless teachings and views we come across, we are very careful to satisfy ourselves as clearly the teaching of scriptures, we are not very careful of this approach, then many things that we read, they sound reasonable, we'll just tend to receive them into our lives. We'll just tend to get influenced, affected by them, including many views and teachings which sound reasonable, but they are not sound nor wholesome. So to do this properly is not easy, but it is important. However, we should also know our priorities. I mentioned that views that we come across, we are not clear, then we will hold in abeyance until it becomes clear through time and with further consideration and study. But that does not mean that everything that we hear, we come across, we must spend a lot of time to consider and to study these things. We should concentrate first of all on clear teaching of the scriptures, and also if there are some areas that we want to study further, to become clearer whether it is really the truth, whether it is really in accordance with the teaching of the scriptures, that is possible. But we must learn to concentrate on issues that are really important. We should know our priorities. What are the issues we want to concentrate upon? Some issues are not so important at that stage of our development. Some issues are more urgent. They are more relevant to us or to someone close to us, and we may need to spend time to study it. But let us recognize our priorities and not become distracted and spend a lot of time trying to study various issues. They are not so important for our lives at that point of time. And there are so many views and teachings going on, various assertions, which if we are not careful and selective, we try to study various of these things, then it can consume a lot of our time, energy, and as a result, our Christian life may not be growing well because many areas which are important, we are neglecting. On the other hand, let us be careful not to be lazy, but diligently seeking the scriptures and to study issues that are really important. Diligent study is a very important part of healthy Christian living and development. So we should concentrate on what is important. What are the issues we should concentrate upon? How do we evaluate whether they are really important for us to concentrate upon? We should concentrate on what is more important for and relevant to our walk with God, our growth and service. Some issues are more directly relevant, pertaining to growth and service. Concentrate on these areas. And let us also recognize that there are various issues which we may be difficult for us, and we may not be in a position to be clear about them on our own. And we will need help from others who can help us to sort out these things and to help us become clearer of the biblical position. And this is in order. This is in accordance with God's desire and plan for us in church life, where we can help one another, and there are those whom the Lord has raised who can help us be clearer of issues, help us to sort out these things. But let us remember that it is on the basis of their helping us to sort out and to be clearer of the scriptural position. That is the basis, not just the opinion or view of someone else, but they help us to understand the scriptural position, and we ourselves are satisfied that it is what the scriptures teach. So we ourselves must be diligent to seek to understand these things. The sixth point, it is valid to make a distinction between those we have come to recognize. It is valid to make a distinction between those we have come to recognize are generally sound and careful in their interpretation of the scriptures, generally sound and careful in their interpretation of the scriptures and their teaching. And those we are uncertain about or have queries about. It is valid to make a distinction between those we have come to recognize are generally sound and careful in their interpretation of the scriptures and their teaching, and those we are uncertain about or have queries about. It is valid to make this distinction, and our receptivity towards these two different categories of people Now, of course, these are two broad categories. In between, they are varying degrees. So I put them at two categories. But as in many other issues, often it's not a question of black and white. It's not absolute, but we're varying degrees in these two directions. But we should be more readily receptive towards the former, the first category, but we are more vigilant and careful in our consideration and examination of the views and teachings of the latter, the second group, before we receive them or allow them to influence our lives. This is important to take note of also, because we also have to be careful that we are not so concerned that we are not influenced by wrong teaching, that we are not able to receive. So we still should be careful. The basis is still the scriptures. But those whom we have come to recognize, we have good grounds to believe, they are generally sound and careful in their interpretation of the scriptures and their teaching, we can be more readily receptive. Now that doesn't mean that we just receive everything. We still consider what they are teaching, what they are saying, is it in line with the scriptures? We still examine them. But we are more readily receptive. Now I mentioned here, those who have come to recognize are generally sound and careful in their interpretation of the scriptures. This is important. Because when they're careful in the interpretation of scriptures, even more so when they show to us how they have interpreted the scriptures, and we can follow the arguments, we can follow it for ourselves. Is it so? In contrast to those who are not so careful in the interpretation of scriptures, or who do not show how they arrive at their understanding. And I mentioned about those we are uncertain about or queries about, people we are not familiar with, or even more so, some groups or people belong to certain categories that we have queries about, then even more so, we have to be very careful not to quickly receive or allow what they say to influence our lives, unless we are very clear the scriptures actually teach these things. Now this distinction, this kind of attitude and approach is valid, because this is right and this is consistent with our attitude in our longing to receive what is clearly taught in the scriptures, what is of the Lord. And yet at the same time, we are careful not to receive what is not of the Lord. So those who are generally careful, we come to recognize that they are generally sound, not only in their teaching, preaching, but also generally, as I mentioned, true preaching and teaching has a linkage with life. The spiritual health, maturity, knowledge of the Lord of people bears a relationship with their preaching and teaching and their ability to help us recognize the truth. So those we are more familiar with, we have more confidence of their attitudes, their spiritual state, then it is proper that we are more readily receptive. But those we are not sure about, then we have to be more careful. But ultimately, we still must come back to the point that whatever we receive into our lives, it is on the basis of what the scriptures teach. And we must not be slothful nor negligent. We must do our part to search the scriptures, to examine the issues, whether scriptures actually teach these things. The seventh point, to some degree I have pointed to this issue just now, but I want to highlight it. It is rather important, and that is carefulness in regulating what we are exposed to. It's part of our responsibility, and God has created us moral beings. We can regulate our lives in many ways. Some are beyond our control, that's different. But whatever we can regulate, whatever context where we have a choice, and there are many aspects in which we can regulate and have a choice, we must be careful in regulating what we are exposed to. That is, exposed to what we read, what we hear. Let us not just carelessly expose ourselves, just read all kinds of things, hear all kinds of things. It can be damaging for our lives. But how do we go about regulating what we are exposed to? Bear in mind a few points. A, the reliability of the source. For example, the speaker or the writer. More readily concentrate on speakers, writers, when we are clear about that what they write, what they teach, what they communicate are sound. We've come to recognize the reliability. We are more, not only more at ease, but we should pay attention to spend time to benefit from such sources, but to be wary and to be careful that we may not be ready to expose ourselves to various sources where it is not reliable, and we may not be able in a position to properly safeguard ourselves. This is related to also the second point, B, 7B, and that is our personal degree of maturity and knowledge of the truth. We need to bear in mind our personal degree of maturity and knowledge of the truth. We are young believers, we are not so mature, we do not know the truth very much. Then it can become difficult for us to distinguish between truth from error and to safeguard ourselves from negative influences. So we need to be more careful in the way we expose ourselves to what we hear and read. We need to regulate more our personal degree of maturity and knowledge of the truth. If we are more mature, our knowledge of the truth is deeper and more sound, better grasp of the truth, then we are in a better position. And when we are more exposed to various views and teachings, then we are in a better position to recognize truth from error and not so easily negatively influenced. But we still have to be careful. It's just a factor to bear in mind that it is relevant. Degree of maturity, knowledge of the truth. Another aspect, C, that is relevant is how able we are to distinguish truth from error and to recognize the presence of false or wrong, inaccurate teaching, which may appear sound and convincing. Now I say how able we are to distinguish between truth from error. This bears a relationship with B, maturity, knowledge of the truth. But it's not just that. Some of us are more able. It's related at times to one way of putting it across is the way the Lord has equipped us or granted us gifts. Some of us are more able. We are more able to distinguish between truth from error. We are more able to recognize the presence of false or wrong, inaccurate teaching. So those whom the Lord has called and equipped them with such gifts, together with that, they may also have responsibilities to shoulder, whereby they're being more exposed to what is going on in this world, as well as various views and teachings that are going on. It may be their responsibility to have some understanding of what is going on so that they can help to prepare others as well as to caution other believers about wrong teaching that is going on. But we need to be careful and to be objective to know accurately this issue and not to quickly think that we are quite able to do so when in fact it is not true, and think that we are ready to expose ourselves to various of these views and teachings when in fact we are not. It is a dangerous thing. So be prayerful, consider the issues carefully, objectively. D is the helpfulness and needfulness as we seek to regulate ourselves to what we're exposed to, one of the factors is helpfulness and needfulness. How helpful is it for us to read or to hear those things? The other is how needful. Helpfulness primarily has to do with for our own development. How helpful is it for our development to read about those things? Does it really contribute significantly to our lives, our walk with God, our faithfulness to God? Needfulness related to helpfulness, but needfulness can include sometimes our need to look into that issue because, for example, someone close to us is rather affected by that area of teaching and may want to look into it, and perhaps we are in a better position than that someone else we are concerned about. So we want to see whether is it sound or not, and what is it all about, so that we can help someone who is close to us, maybe a loved one who may be affected by these things. But this area we have to tread carefully. It may be from the angle needful, from one angle that someone is affected by it, but we still have to consider, are we ready? Or perhaps we need help from someone else who can help us in that direction. Because if we ourselves are not ready, and we go and read those things, then not only are we not able to help the one we are concerned about, we ourselves become negatively affected and influenced. So we need to be careful. But what I want to emphasize here is, regards to this issue of regulating what we are exposed to, is something that we must be conscious about and be deliberate about. On the one hand, it's good to learn, to benefit from whatever other believers can help us, to benefit and learn from truth wherever we can learn from it. On the other hand, bearing in mind many unwholesome, wrong assertions, wrong teaching going on, and how they can easily influence us if we are not careful, we need to exercise great care to regulate ourselves. But let us take note that what is in order, what is appropriate for one, may not be advisable or suitable for another. This is important to bear in mind. Let us not, because someone else is doing that, and because, as far as I understand, it is in order for that person, we also go and do it. It may be appropriate for that person. It may not be appropriate for us. Of course, be careful of applying this the other way around and too quickly think, it may not be appropriate for someone else, but it's appropriate for me. Be careful. If you think it's appropriate for you, do you have good grounds? Is it really so? Because if you're not careful and you wrongly conclude in that way, then you may have to pay a high price. The adverse consequences can at times be very far-reaching. So in this regard, I've mentioned just now that some may have greater responsibility and better equipped to examine the various issues because of the Lord's calling for their lives, the Lord's enabling, equipping them, or perhaps, and also related to their responsibilities, for example, in church life, preaching, teaching, counseling, or other aspects where they need to shoulder in the helping believers in their development, and the Lord has equipped them. So some are better equipped than others in these areas. Let us each one carefully, objectively evaluate these issues and wisely act accordingly. Remember, not based on personal inclinations or interest. Do take note of this. We cannot proceed on the basis of personal inclination or interest in these areas. Some of us like to read, hear various of these things, and so we go about exposing ourselves to all kinds of literature and all kinds of things that we hear. On the other hand, there are others who are not so inclined, not so disciplined. They waste their time in many other areas, so they do not read here because they rather do other things. It should not be based on inclinations or interests, but objectively. Is it appropriate? Is it suitable? What should we be concentrating upon? Is it advisable? In other words, prayerfully, to try to understand what the Lord desires of us. And various of these aspects I'm raising for your consideration are intended to help us recognize, understand what the Lord desires of us. Ultimately, that is the question. That is the issue. What the Lord would desire of us to be exposed to concentrate upon. The outcome can have important implications for our spiritual health, our spiritual well-being. And these issues are actually very important for the Lord's work in our midst and for church life and the health of the church. Whether long term we can move in a direction that is healthy or we'll go astray, or many in our midst may go astray, this is one of the important issues that we need to be careful about, because wrong teaching influencing our lives can lead us far astray. I now want to carry on with the second part or second section. Now this is still on the approach to take, and the basis is the authority and the fallibility of what the scriptures teach, or what the scriptures teaches. The second part, or second section, I want to deal with schools of thought and teachings of denominations. To some degree, we have talked about this, referred to this in the recent messages, so I want to consider some of these issues pertaining to the approach to adopt. First, I want to begin with this proposition that it is unwise to receive wholesale the various aspects of teaching. It is unwise to receive wholesale the various aspects of teaching of a particular school of thought or denomination without subjecting the various aspects of its teaching to careful examination and scrutiny on the basis of the scriptures. Even if there are aspects of the teaching of a particular school of thought or denomination which are helpful and sound biblically, it does not mean that all other aspects of the teachings would be so. I want to spend a bit of time to consider this, short time to consider this, because of its widespread relevance and implications affecting the lives of many believers. So some awareness of this is relevant, is helpful for us, though it may not be so directly relevant to various ones of us individually, but some of us may be affected by some of these things with schools of thought and teachings of denominations also. It is unwise to receive wholesale the various aspects of teaching of a particular school of thought or denomination without subjecting the various aspects of its teaching to careful examination and scrutiny on the basis of the scriptures. Even if there are aspects of the teaching of a particular school of thought which are helpful and sound biblically, it does not mean that all other aspects of the teachings would be so. There are many believers today as well as in years past who identify themselves with a particular school of thought or denomination, and even before they have much understanding of the various aspects of its teaching. Many identify themselves, they consider themselves as subscribing to the particular school of thought, and They identify themselves in that way even before they have much understanding of what are the various aspects of the teaching. And then from there, they too easily go on to absorb whatever they later come to understand to be part of the teaching of that school of thought, because they've already identified themselves with that particular school of thought. So later, whatever they come to recognize is part of the school of thought, they just receive it in. And many of these issues are not really thought through. And this is actually happening at a very widespread level. But I want to emphasize again and again, we have to come back to the fundamental point, that true submission to God is submission to the teaching of the scriptures. What are the implications when we consider such issues as schools of thought and teachings of particular denominations? Realize too that there are many who actually tend to equate adherence and submission to a particular school of thought as submission and faithfulness to God. In various contexts, it has become equated in that way. Submission to the teachings of that school of thought is the same as submission to God, faithfulness to God. In other words, if you are not submissive to any aspect of the teachings, you are not submitting to God. It becomes like that. And there are many who also feel uneasy to question any aspect of the various teachings. They do not have the freedom to question, because to them, if you question these teachings, you're questioning God. You're questioning the issue of faithfulness to God, because somehow it has become equated. That somehow I'll explain why it becomes like that. And this is serious, because they thereby lose the freedom in the Lord to examine the various issues on the basis of the scriptures. And this is a very important principle. Believers must maintain the freedom in the Lord to examine every issue on the basis of the scriptures. Why is this so? Because ultimately, our submission, faithfulness must be to God. And why is it we are examining issues on the basis of the scriptures? It's because of our submission to the authority of God. And because God has inspired the scriptures, we then submit to the authority of what the scriptures teaches. So we examine all issues on the basis of the scriptures. That is an important principle. We must continue to hold on to this principle of this freedom in the Lord to examine all issues on the basis of the scriptures. Now, in some of this context, we have said that this losing of the freedom of the Lord to examine these issues is rendered more difficult and complicated in various contexts or congregations or denominations where a particular school of thought has been firmly adopted. And this is not uncommon. In various contexts, a particular school of thought has become firmly adopted and practically equated with faithfulness to God. Now, that means it is not just an individual subscribing to a school of thought and somehow coming to the conclusion that submission to the school of thought is faithfulness to God, but it is a whole context, congregation, denomination, a whole context where such a school of thought is firmly adopted and practically equated with faithfulness to God and is used to measure faithfulness to God. Whether you submit to this thing is a measurement of your faithfulness to God. Now, there are varying degrees of firmness of adoption of such schools of thought, but in various contexts, this is a direction. In some contexts, such kind of stand can be very strong. Now, this is undesirable. This is undesirable. To have a balance picture and perception of this whole issue, we need to recognize that some of these schools of thought may represent positive development. Let us recognize, I say may develop, some schools of thought may represent positive development, because we mustn't just assume that all schools of thought have positive contribution, but some of them do have. And there are schools of thought which do represent positive development in some aspects in their historical context. There is a historical context in which these schools of thought emerge. And they actually represent positive development at that point of time. For example, the Reformed theology can be traced to Calvin and to his writings. Calvin, it is John Calvin. His writings, in particular, the Institutes. And John Calvin has written a lot regards to the Christian faith and also his understanding of the scriptures and the Christian faith. And in particular, the Reformed theology, you can trace it back, is actually basically traced back to the writings of John Calvin and in particular the Institutes. The Institutes, just the Institutes alone, is a very thick book with a lot inside its pages. But besides Institutes, Calvin has also written a lot else. But especially the Institutes, the Reformed theology is traced to that book. But let us remember that John Calvin's context was the period of the Reformation. And in his context, during the period of Reformation, he was able to contribute positively in his understanding of the Christian faith and the scriptures for his time. But that was the Reformation period. That was a period when there were many serious wrong teaching practices and wrong understanding as well as neglect of the scriptures. This was very prevalent at his time. And people like Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, Arminius, and various others were able to contribute their part in that historical context. They have contributed positively. Though it is important to realize, to take note, that their writings contain both insight, truth, as well as errors. And for believers in subsequent generations, our approach, our attitude should be to continue to examine what has been taught by believers of preceding generations on the basis of the scriptures. And by God's grace, to make further progress from what had been seen by them, rather than to enshrine their teachings and formulations of doctrine into schools of thought and regarded as authoritative and cannot be questioned. We should go on, build on, make further progress from what they have seen. But at the same time, it is after we've examined them and we are satisfied that what they teach is in line with the scriptures, is really what the scriptures teach. But if we should not enshrine such teachings and formulations of doctrines on their part into schools of thought and regard it as authoritative and cannot be questioned, because if we do so, we will, on the one hand, hinder further progress in understanding the truth, the teaching of the scriptures and what is in the heart of God, because you concentrate on and regard all those things that they write as authoritative, it can hinder further progress as well as to continue to perpetuate the errors. Errors which contradict true biblical teaching. And yet they are handed down from generation to generation. This is a serious matter. The Lord's intention is that as he enables his servants with passing time, different ones may be able to understand different aspects of the truth. We can learn from those who have gained insight into the truth. But whatever people may teach, whatever they try to communicate as to what they understand, that is their understanding, we must still subject it to the test of the basis of the scriptures, on the basis of the scriptures. Because what is taught and interpreted by men is fallible. They should not be regarded as infallible. Let us remember the words of the Lord Jesus about teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting, invalidating, or contradicting God's true instructions, and how such teachings may be handed down. So let us be careful. Let us learn from whatever insight into the scriptures other believers can contribute to our understanding of the truth. whether it be in preceding generations or our own time, we can benefit from whatever insight into the scriptures, into the truth that other believers can contribute into our, can contribute to our lives, but do not simply accept or receive them into our lives. Do not simply accept and receive whatever we hear and read before we are clear that it is scriptural. One major contribution of Luther and Calvin and the Reformation period was actually their strong emphasis and insistence on the scriptures as the authoritative revelation of God and truth. This was not always the case. For long periods of time, for many years, including just prior to the Reformation, there was significant neglect of the scriptures and the proper place of the scriptures. The Reformation period, one significant contribution, including people like Luther and Calvin, was their strong insistence, emphasis on the scriptures as the authoritative revelation of God and truth, with the implication that all authoritative preaching and teaching must be grounded in accurate, sound interpretation and exposition of the true teaching of the scriptures. And various ones during the Reformation period, including Calvin and Luther, have contributed in helping people to be more careful about the way we should interpret the scriptures. They have contributed in that direction. Also, the implication that all teachings and views put forward pertaining to the Christian faith must pass the test of close scrutiny on the basis of the scriptures. This is part of their contribution. This is the approach that both Luther and Calvin and many others in that period would agree and would emphasize as very important for the well-being of believers and for God's church. This recognition of the place, the significance, and the authority of the scriptures is actually a major positive contribution and development during the Reformation period, especially if we bear in mind and understanding the prevailing state of affairs in the preceding years, and aware of the background of Roman Catholicism, and also its approach and various practices, including the neglect of the scriptures, and also the inaccessibility and non-availability of the scriptures to believers generally. And basically, scriptures are limited to what is termed by them as special category of people known as the priests, others known as laymen, believers generally. The scriptures is inaccessible to them, not available. But the Reformation period has contributed in the direction of the scriptures becoming available to believers. And also in that context, the wrong emphasis on tradition, as well as the authoritative role and position and authoritative pronouncements of the Pope. So bearing in mind that background, that historical context, people like Luther and Calvin have contributed their part. But we need to remember our submission must be to God and the teaching of the infallible scriptures he has inspired. What has been interpreted and taught by men is fallible, including the teachings which have been formulated in any particular school of thought, as well as various positions and views that we can hear in various contexts today. All these are fallible, and we must carefully examine these various views and teachings on the basis of the scriptures before we receive them into our lives. And not only that, even views and teachings which we think are accurate scripturally, we must continue to maintain the freedom to continue to examine any teaching on the basis of the scriptures. This continuing freedom must be maintained. In other words, what I'm saying is, even if a body of truth has been come to be recognized by a particular group as scriptural, what has been formulated, they may believe that it is scriptural, and they formulate what they believe to be scriptural is listed down. They must continue to have the freedom to examine these teachings on the basis of scriptures. Likewise, for our own lives, we must continue to have the freedom to examine any issue, including areas that we have come to regard as truths that is in accordance with the scriptures. There should still be the freedom to examine them, because we should bear in mind the possibility that at times what we have regarded to be truth may actually be not so wholesome. There may be aspects we need to qualify. That does not mean that we cannot be clear about the fundamentals. There are various fundamentals of the truth we can be clear about. Neither does it mean that we are so unstable and so easily shaken regards to the fundamentals that we believe in. But what I want to emphasize is the principle of the freedom before the Lord, because of our recognition that the real authority must be based on our submission to the authority of God and the scriptures, which means that whatever issue must continue to be subject to examination on the basis of the scriptures. And not the other way around, which what some seem to do. That is, their starting point seems to be a particular school of thought and its teachings as if it is authoritative, and then read and study the scriptures and interpret accordingly. In my impression, this is not uncommon. Various schools of thought are already assumed to be those who identify themselves with a particular school of thought, including, as I mentioned, some who quite quickly identify themselves with a particular school of thought without even understanding much of its various teachings. And then after that, as they read the scriptures, they try to interpret the scriptures accordingly to what the school of thought teaches. Our starting point, let us note that the Bereans were commended for doing so, and they were examining the preaching and the teachings of Paul and Silas. We have referred to this passage in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to 12, from time to time. And these few verses are very relevant. Let us look at them. Very relevant to what we have been considering. This is what the scriptures encourage us, the proper approach and attitude to adopt. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So the Bereans, they were commended as noble-minded. And it explains, for they received the word with great eagerness. Paul and Silas, their preaching was received with great eagerness. They were not indifferent. There was eagerness, but they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That is the correct attitude. To examine whether these things were so. Of course, at this point of time, they may not be so familiar with Paul and Silas. But even after being familiar with Paul and Silas, the basis is still the teachings of the scriptures. But the scriptures tells us that this is the proper approach and basis, the authority of the scriptures. And all true preaching and teaching must be in accordance with the truths revealed in the scriptures. And to be diligent to examine what the scriptures actually teach is important and commendable in the sight of the Lord. Let us not be neglectful of this. But it also leads to positive consequences. Verse 12, many of them therefore believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. We want to develop strong and proper convictions. Then we must not neglect the searching of the scriptures. It's a sad thing. If after all the emphasis on this point, and many of us acknowledge it is true, We pay lip service to it, but do not devote time to diligently search the scriptures. It would be very sad and to our detriment. I do hope that each one of us will take note and recognize the importance of the place of the scriptures for our lives and seek by God's grace to understand the truths revealed in it with diligence, with carefulness. And so accordingly, over the years, we have encouraged all of you to examine everything that is taught and preached, as well as whatever you hear and read on the basis of the scriptures. And it is also important to learn how to do so effectively. And do take note that this is not easy. To learn how to do so effectively, to examine what is taught and preached on the basis of the scriptures, is not an easy thing. An important foundation would be our personal knowledge of the scriptures. That's the first aspect of the important foundation, our personal knowledge of the scriptures. A second important aspect of the foundation is to learn how to interpret the scriptures. And the third important aspect of the foundation that we need to develop is how to recognize sound or unsound arguments and inferences from the scriptures. These three aspects are very important. First, our personal knowledge of the scriptures. To what degree do we know the scriptures for ourselves? Secondly, how to interpret the scriptures, the proper way of interpreting. Thirdly, how to recognize sound and unsound arguments and inferences from the scriptures. And over the years, we have sought in many different ways to promote and to develop this foundation for each one in our midst. So we have sought to encourage the personal reading, searching of the scriptures. And in various other aspects of church life, we have sought to promote these three aspects because they are very important. For example, the whole way messages are preached, the proper way of interpreting, and how arguments are put forward on the basis of the scriptures. One is for there to be a proper basis on which you can recognize whether what is communicated is indeed proper interpretation, inferences from the scriptures. The other is, as you hear, you may also learn how to go about it for yourselves and also how to recognize sound and unsound arguments when you come across them in various contexts. Likewise, our time together on Wednesday. A very important aspect, a key aspect of our time together on Wednesday, is not just the communication of truth, substance of truth in itself, but the way we have sought to conduct Wednesday teaching sessions, opportunities for different ones to prepare, to participate, as well as to interact over the issues and to see how we argue out, how we infer, how we interpret the scriptures, how we support our views and assertions, and to try to recognize what is the proper way of doing it, what is improper, what is sound, what is not. That is not an easy ability to develop. And hopefully, if we pay attention, we may be able, with passing time, more and more to develop the ability to do this effectively. Likewise, it is important, the home fellowship context, how various issues are discussed, how the Bible study is conducted.